This is producer Pat. As Peter cares for Gracie, we revisit this interview. You'll find it helpful, even if you've heard it before.
Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg, and this is the program for you as a family caregiver. How are you doing? How are you holding up? What's going on with you? This program is all about helping those who take care of someone who's struggling with a chronic impairment. Helping you as a caregiver stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. Glad to have you with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. And I want to start off with saying that on that website, you'll see a flashing light that says Caregiver 911. If you are in a Caregiver 911 situation, I've got something there for you right on that page. You just click on that little flashing light, and that's a good starting place. If you don't know where to start, let's just start there. Everything I do is designed to help point you to safety, where you can catch your breath, take a knee if you have to, and then let's start making choices to live a healthier life. And we're going to talk about that today because Labor Day's over, so put your white shoes up. Now, that's funny. I don't care who you are. But we're going to go into the fall season, and that's where things can get a little dicey for us as caregivers. There's a lot of stress around the holidays. The days get shorter. The nights get longer. And we tend to eat more. We get a little unhealthier. And so we're gonna do some preemptive work on that, okay? Now, some of you all know that I have been working on losing weight. Wanted to give you an update on that. I weighed this morning. Are you ready? Is there a drum roll around here somewhere? 42 pounds down since the 1st of March. 42. I mean, think about that. 42 pounds. I'm going for 50. I mean, y'all, I had to. I mean, I came back from Denver when Gracie was in the hospital for 2 months last year over Christmas, over the holidays. And I was, you know, I got big, y'all. They had a Chick-fil-A near the hospital. And Chick-fil-A's my kryptonite. We don't have one. 60 miles away from us is the nearest one. And that's on the campus at Montana State. I have to go actually into a place to do it. So that temptation is removed. I love Chick-fil-A. Why shouldn't I? It's beautiful. It's a wonderful place. But I can't go there and eat that anymore. At least not in the portions I was doing. So I came back and I, you know, when you're leaving a footprint in dry concrete, you know it's time to lose weight. And I said, this is enough. And I told you, my friend Dale, who's been on this program, she helped coach me through it. And she said, your future self is going to thank you. Well, here's my future self. 6 months later, 42 pounds down. And I'm keeping it off. And I've got to tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. And if you want to see more about how I'm doing it, if you want Dale to help you, go out to my website and you'll see under the resources there at the top page, just click on the resources and you can go and see that. I recommend it. The results speak for themselves and I feel better. I think a lot clearer now. I didn't realize how much being overweight was affecting a lot of things, you know, and I've not struggled with weight that much over the years. I mean, I've been able to maintain a lot. I'm very active, but you know, when you keep going through the hospital, and hospitals are not a good place to try to lose weight. Y'all know that. And you get bored or you get nervous and you eat, and they call it comfort food for a reason. And so I just made the decision. I'm doing this. And here I am, 42 pounds. I mean, think about what weighs 42 pounds and carry that around. My left knee has given me fits for a very long time. And I'm thinner now than I've been in probably decades. And I'm going to go even more because I've seen the impact of my body, the impact of my left knee particularly. So getting healthy has been a huge goal. I came back from Denver this year from that long stretch in the hospital with Gracie. And I said, this is my year. And I told you all this when I started this. I'm no good to her if I'm fat, broke, and miserable. And I choose to be none of those things. And it's not easy. It takes work. It takes a team. It takes support. It takes encouragement. But the first thing you got to do is decide, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. And I'm going to give you a quote from Churchill. You know I love Churchill, and I'm a big fan of his. It is better to do something than to do nothing while waiting to do everything. The problems we live with as a caregiver are often so overpowering that it paralyzes us. We just wait till things are better, optimal, and then we'll try to tackle all these things. And that's what Churchill is getting at. Let's do something today, right now, today. How can I get healthier today? Not next week, not next Thursday, not a 7-step plan to getting healthier. What can I do right now that's healthy? And if you'll notice, I stay with that theme a lot on this program. By the way, sorry if I sound stopped up. We've had a lot of forest fires in Montana and Wyoming, and a lot of the smoke comes into our valley, and you've probably seen the fires and so forth on the news, and it just sometimes wreaks havoc on your sinuses and everything else. But the snow will be coming to the backcountry pretty soon, and then we'll start putting these things out, and our clear air will return. So bear with me on that, and if I sniff a little bit, I'm so sorry. But for so long, we have been inundated in this culture with, what do we need to do to be happy? We want to be happy. You know, I don't even like the word. Happy has its originations in that word happening. It's the same root word of happening, an event. Something has to happen to make us feel good. Well, for us as caregivers, that cannot be the goal. We're never going to feel good about these things that we're dealing with. We're always going to have this challenge as long as we serve as a caregiver. And even after the caregiving is done, and maybe our loved one goes on to the Lord, and then we're still dealing with the aftermath of this. So if you're choosing to wait till you're happy, well, what's that look like? How's that going to work? And if something can make you happy, then something else can make you sad and demoralized. And so I've shifted that, and I've said, let's stop trying to be happy. Let's start being healthy. And I found that if I chase healthiness instead of happiness, if I chase healthiness, then happiness chases me. You think I'm happy about being 42 pounds down? Yes, I am. But I didn't chase happy, I chased healthy. And all of a sudden, you know, I was happy when I was able to put on some shirts and some clothes that I hadn't worn in a long time. And I thought, well, I got a whole new wardrobe. And I was happy about that, but that's not why I did it. Well, I did it because it was healthy. Healthy, I could start today. I could start right now, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. I don't have to wait for circumstances to be optimal. Again, look, what did Churchill say? It is better to do something than to do nothing while waiting to do everything. We do not have to wait for circumstances to be ideal before we do something that is healthy. You could put down a soda right now and pick up water. You could drink black coffee instead of cream and sugar. You can say no to a donut and say yes to something that's healthier for you. I know it's not fun. Listen, you don't think I want to go to Krispy Kreme? Wherever two or three are gathered, there will be Krispy Kremes. I mean, you know, you don't think I want to do that? But I also don't want to have my left knee hurting anymore because I'm carrying 40 pounds. I also want to fit into clothes, and I want to be able to breathe better and have more energy and a clearer mind. And so I gave up certain things in order to grasp better things. You could do this too. And we're going to talk about that more on this program today because it's about healthiness. And healthy caregivers make better caregivers. You know this. We've talked about this on the show for the years that I've been doing it. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. So let's get healthy today. Today's a great day to start. We can do it together. And this is Peter Rosenberger, hopeforthecaregiver.com. We'll be right back.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
This is Walker Wildman with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Walker, the man Tembe, lives in Mozambique, Africa. He grew up as the grandson of the village witch doctor, so he had no idea who Jesus is. But he eventually married, had two sons. One day, those sons went missing. They put together a search party. They found out these boys had been murdered, killed at the hands of the grandfather and his world of demons and child sacrifice. This put Tembe and his wife into a severe depression. A Christian invited them to come learn about Jesus, and they have now come to place their faith in him, but the story doesn't end there. They've gone on to lead 200 people to Christ who look at these two and they see people who have the grace and gumption to move forward in life. AFR listening family, we want to bless 16,000 Bibleist believers in Africa by June 30th. You've blessed 12,000, 4,000 to go at $5 a Bible. Will you call 800-YES-WORD? That's 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. Sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Hey friends, it's Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, as your one-minute parenting coach. When you hear the unthinkable has happened to someone, does your mind start an invisible ticker tape to think, I would never do that? We look for something that's different, and we get relief with self-adopted comfort that could never happen to me. You usually share that observation with those around you. Subconsciously, you're trying to reassure yourself. This psychological shift signals stigma, placing someone in a different imaginary category based on characteristics you see as undesirable and threatening to your feelings of security. So be kind when you hear of other struggles. Express empathy and be a good listener. Your kids are listening to you. I'll see you on the Dr. Nurse Mama radio show here on American Family Radio.
See the day.
Back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, and this is the day the Lord has made. And I want to play that song very specifically because no matter what is going on in our life, this is the day the Lord has made, and we can be comforted, strengthened, encouraged, and our spine stiffened knowing that this day does not catch him by surprise. Every day that we wake up and experience this day, we can recognize that this is the day the Lord has made. And we may have to wake up while we're in a hospital. We may have to wake up and go to a funeral home. We may have to wake up into all kinds of difficult circumstances. But by affirming what our spirit knows to be true because of the redemptive work of Christ, we are not bound to the craziness of this world. And so we are saying no to our emotions that would be cast down within us. And we have to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. You see this throughout all of Scripture. Go back in Lamentations 3. Jeremiah is like, my soul is cast down within me. But he said, but this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. I'll play it at the caregiver keyboard. He said that, Jeremiah said, you know, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Great is thy faithfulness. And he said, every morning I see new mercies. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. All I have.
provided. Lord, unto me. Isn't that a great hymn? That's how we do it. That's how we do it as caregivers. We're talking about being healthy today, and part of being healthy is understanding where your strength comes from. Where do you draw your strength? Is it of your own doing? Is it something that you manufacture? No. No, it's not. You cannot do this and sustain it on your own. Anybody else tell you that? Yeah, I don't know. Raise an eyebrow. Somebody's been taking care of a woman who struggles with severe disabilities now for 4 decades. You might want to pay attention, because I have long since exhausted my abilities. I do not have it in me to do this. But he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. All of a sudden, these scriptures just come in a cascade over you when you turn into his will. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. And the things of earth, the things of caregiving, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious grace. Paul said the things of this world, the sufferings of this world, the trials, the tribulations, all these things, they're not even worthy to be compared. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean that it doesn't make you cry. Doesn't mean that you don't struggle. It just means that we wrench our will into the truth of the gospel. This is how we stay healthy. If you try to just have a positive attitude, that's only going to take you so far. Why have a positive attitude? Think about that. We have to ask hard questions. Just, you know, squinting your eyes real hard and say, I'm going to be better. You know, try that for a couple of decades. Now, once you've exhausted that, come back to the reality of Scripture. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your steps. That word is a lamp, not a searchlight. It's a lamp. We only get one step at a time sometimes. But he's promised to guide us. Now, we either believe this or we don't. And if we don't believe it, then, you know, turn off whatever device you're listening to this on and walk away. But if you do believe this and you know this to be true, then there's nothing else more important and nothing else that can taint it, even the daily struggle of being a caregiver. You follow me on that? Once you wrap your mind around where you're going to stand, everything flows from that. And if you stand on the word of God, you will never be put to shame. No matter what happens on this earth, Martin Luther said, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. Listen to what he said at Worms. He was addressing the court there. Since your most serene majesty and your highnesses require of me a simple, clear, and direct answer, I will give one. And it is this. I cannot submit my faith either to the Pope or to the Council, because it is clear that they have fallen into error and even into inconsistency with themselves. If, then, I am not convinced by proof from Holy Scripture or by cogent reasons, if I am not satisfied by the very texts I have cited, and if my judgment is not in this way brought into subjection to God's Word, I neither can nor will retract anything, for it cannot be either safe or honest for a Christian to speak against his conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. It's difficult to understand how much courage it took for Luther and other reformers to stand up against the corruptness that had overtaken the church. To be excommunicated from the church was to be, in effect, sentenced to hell. And it's very difficult in our culture to understand the gravity of this. But he was able to do that by the conviction of the Word of God And he stood solely, exclusively on that. Now, if he can do that, could we not do the same as caregivers? When we look at the sufferings that our loved one goes through, the frustration, the heartache, the loss, the sorrow, the grief, the anguish, the pain, the all of the above, can we not anchor ourselves in Scripture to stand firmly in the truth of God's sovereignty, that His faithfulness is never changing, that He's not abandoned us, that His mercies are new every morning? Can we not do this because of what He has promised in Scripture? Do we believe this? Christian, what do you believe? And if you don't believe this, okay, that's your call. But if you do, and you're standing on this, then what are the implications when it comes to being a caregiver? Do you look at the sufferings that you see? Do you look at the anguish? And you say, here's what the Word of God says. I don't feel good about this. I don't like this. He didn't ask me to like it. He asked me to trust Him. Why do I trust Him? And all we have to do is look to the cross. Once you go down this path, intellectually and spiritually, you are refusing to allow your circumstances to dictate your healthiness. You're refusing to. We talked about in the last block, you know, our bodies being healthy, getting healthy. I'm losing weight, 42 pounds. Well, guess what? I've had a lot more than 42 pounds worth of bad emotional baggage and spiritual baggage. And that's got to go too. That process is called sanctification. If your church is not preaching on this kind of thing, you might want to rethink your church. Go back to this text from How Firm a Foundation. It's verse 3. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be near thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Verse 4. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie. How many of you all feel like you're going through fiery trials? How many of you feel like you're going through deep waters? Well, look at the text. It says, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. My grace is sufficient for all. Remember what Paul said that Jesus told him. He said, my grace is sufficient. And then the hymn writer goes on to say, the flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. You know what dross is? It's a mass of solid impurities floating on a molten metal or dispersed in the metal, or it's waste material generated during the welding process. But you get the picture. It's the gunk. And in the purifying fire of God's sanctification of our lives, that gunk gets burned up more and more and more. Until we are what? Filled with the purity of Christ when we stand before Him. That's the whole point of this, sanctifying us. And have you noticed that God is interested in sanctifying His people? Go back and look at the Old Testament, the elaborate way that people had to approach the tabernacle, the mountain of God, the temple of God. There's an elaborate cleansing ritual that they went through as a picture of what is necessary to approach a holy God. Do we hear teaching like this a lot? In our churches, are you hearing teaching like this? If not, you might want to rethink where you're going to church. Because God is interested in a holy people. And that's going to come through the sanctification process. And the sanctification process, more often than not, is very uncomfortable for us. And God uses suffering and things in this world that are very painful and heartbreaking to sanctify, to burn that dross out of us, that gold to refine, as the hymn writer says. Part of being a healthy caregiver is being spiritually healthy. And that comes from digging into the Word of God, chewing on it, meditating on it, thinking on it, and then applying it in our daily lives, even as we are changing an adult diaper. You get it? He's interested in refining gold. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him. The Bible presents a compelling portrait of godly fatherhood that families today desperately need. Fathers are called to provide spiritual guidance, protection, and sacrificial love, and our Heavenly Father provides the perfect example. He corrects us with loving discipline, shows compassion as a father shows compassion to his children, and never abandons us despite our failures. Most profoundly, He gave His only Son to redeem us. This Father's Day, let's honor the men who reflect God's character through their love, wisdom, and steadfast presence. As Proverbs 20, verse 7 reminds us, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A godly father's legacy extends far beyond genetics. It shapes generations and echoes throughout eternity. This is Tim Moore wishing your family a happy Father's Day weekend and Godspeed.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. To hear more, go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Before you say anything, that ain't me playing. But I'm learning. All right, I aspire. But listen to this text right here. Walk in the light. Charles Moore. I love this. I'm working on learning how to play like this. I've got a long ways to go. You got to peel an awful lot of Presbyterian off of me to play like that. But give me time. I'm working on it. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver, and I am so glad that you are with us. Walk in the light. That's one of the things I want to transition to in this block. We're talking about being healthy today, and I want to give you an update on something that has been, for me, a challenge for many years. I started to notice this. I was in Africa many years ago with our work with Standing with Hope with our prosthetic limb ministry. And I had a couple of prosthetists and orthotists with us, CPOs, certified prosthetists and orthotists. Now, prosthetics, of course, build prosthetic devices, legs and arms and so forth. Orthotists do back braces and inserts for your shoes, knees, things such as that, orthotics. And I had them looking at my feet, and something was pinching on my left side of my foot. And there was putting pressure there when I walked. Well, this persisted for some time, and then I saw a podiatrist when I got back to Nashville. A friend of mine is a podiatrist there. I said, what's going on with me with this area of my foot? And it was on my little left toe. And he said, well, you got a bunion. Well, I said, well, I know I got a bunion, but that's on the right side of my foot. He said, no, that's what's causing your problem. You have a deformity that's creating pain on the other side of your foot because of your walking gait. And I've gone through a series of stuff with this and got, over time, put some inserts in, trying to do some things to mitigate this bunion. I don't want to have surgery because I'll be on crutches for some time. And when's a good time for me to be on crutches as a caregiver? So I've gone to, you know, several avenues of trying to, what can I do to mitigate this? And the general consensus was, is I have a, on my left leg, the way my foot walks, it's lower. It kind of dips down. And what was happening is my big toe was floating a little bit and it kept going over and over and over. And that's what gives this bunion, this pronounced deformity there in that knuckle of your big toe. And then it throws your whole walking gait off, your knee, everything. Everything's hurting. So I had special orthotics made. I had to get a prescription for them. They're kind of expensive. And I had them made. And what it does is it does not solve the problem, but it halts it. It arrests the problem. And it lifts me up a little bit on my left side so that I'm walking straighter. And it takes all the pressure off of that bigger toe so that my bunion doesn't hurt. And then it gives me even greater arch support. Now, why am I telling you all this? I mean, it sounds like I'm an old man talking about his bunions. Well, these are the only feet that Gracie can count on, okay, or mine. She has two prosthetic legs. I mean, and she can't wear them all the time. So she counts on my feet. And if my feet are hurting, how effective am I at being a caregiver? Let me think it through. That's why I play that song at the beginning, Walk in the Light. Because, first off, I really want to learn how to play like that, and number one. And number two, it's a good text. But how effective can I be if I can't walk very well? So remember the last block we talked about that great hymn, How Firm a Foundation. Well, how firm is my foundation if I can't walk very well? And if I can't stand without pain and all these things? And so I took action to it. And now I didn't solve the problem because I really can't go back and do a surgery. I mean, it's 6 weeks on crutches, give or take. And it's kind of iffy whether or not they work. But what I can do is not let it get any worse and arrest the problem and then have better posture and walking because of it. So my question to you is then, what about you? How are your feet? How's your health? In general, we talked about in the first block about losing weight. I made a decision. Look, I'm a caregiver. I'm a caregiver for 4 decades. So I get the journey. I get the stress. I get the challenges. I get the time constraints. I get all of that. But I've had to make some hard decisions. When I was doing martial arts, I was able to keep the weight down. I was very active. Hadn't been able to do martial arts since I moved out to Montana. And I miss it. But okay, here I am. So what am I going to do about it? And I also let myself eat things. Well, if you only gain 3 pounds in 1 year, but every year you gain 3 pounds, guess what? In 10 years, that's 30 pounds. And that's what happens. That's the way they do inflation, by the way. Well, the inflation was only up by 2% this year. Well, yeah, but it was up 2% last year, the year before. That's how they spin things. And we, you know, that's the human condition. We're going to always spin things. But as caregivers, can we really spin it? I mean, think about it. These extreme demands that we have as caregivers are going to force us to have an honest conversation. Are you overweight? First step is admitting that you got a problem, that you're overweight. What do you want to do about it? Okay? How is this helping you be a better caregiver? How is this healthy? What is it contributing to? High blood pressure? Are you pre-diabetic? All of the above. You say, well, Peter, you don't understand my circumstances. Really? You really think so? Okay. You can go out to my website, check on the resources tab, get a free conversation with my friend Dale, she coached me through this. She can do the same for you. Doesn't cost anything to ask her, talk to her, see kind of where you stand. Swallow your pride instead of your food, instead of a donut. Swallow your pride. And say, you know what, I need some help. I got to get healthier. I'll tell you what Dale told me. Your future self will thank you. All right? 6 months, 40 pounds. Not bad, huh? And I'm going to keep it off. This is my new lifestyle. I don't want to ever go back. I don't want to buy fat clothes. Okay? Then I went and saw a podiatrist. I got my foot checked out. Then I spent the money to get some orthotics. To make sure that I can walk properly. Everything I'm doing is to equip me to stay strong and healthy while taking care of somebody who is not. How much water do you drink? I'm trying to drink about 100 ounces of water a day. I drink a lot of water. And you drink to think. I'm a child of the South. I like sweet tea as much as anybody else. But I've had to change. I started buying the soda waters. No calories, no sugar, nothing. I drink that, plus I drink regular water. But if I feel the need for a soda, then I'll drink one of those. It gives me that fix so that I don't have that soda, but I drink something. So it's just water, just carbonated water. I used to drink way too many sodas, way too much sugar. And I've had to cut that out. I drink black coffee. And, you know, no cream, no sugar. And I give myself perks every now and then, you know, because I don't want to live like a Nazi with it. But at the same time, the goal is for me to be healthier. Okay? And that's just working for me. And I think it would work for you, but you have to make that decision. Then you got to see your doctor regularly. You got to get checked out. What's your blood pressure like? Do you want to wait a year to find out what your blood pressure is like? Do you want to wait a year to find out if you're pre-diabetic or your cholesterol's real high? Let's go ahead and get that checked out. When's the last time you got a physical? How about your colonoscopy? All these things. Can you really afford to put this off until you stop being a caregiver? I'm 4 decades into it. How long can I put off seeing my doctor? Should I wait 40 years? No. We got to start being healthy today. We take good care of ourselves. It's called stewardship. Your body is the body that your loved one is counting on. I remember being at the doctor's office one time and I saw this woman checking out. They called her to the front desk and her daughter, it found out it was her daughter, pushed her up to the counter in her wheelchair. The woman was very frail and old and looked ancient and very, very sickly. But the daughter was morbidly obese. I mean, really big. And I thought, wow, how dangerous is this? That this woman is responsible for taking care of this frail woman, and yet neither of these women are in very good health. We can't eliminate everything that's going to happen to us, but we can be better stewards of where we are right now and do the best we can to be healthy. Starts with getting into your scriptures. I talk to more caregivers whose minds are just besmirched and they can't think clearly. Best thing you can do is dig into your scriptures. If you don't know where to start, start with the book of Proverbs. Read one every day for that corresponding day of the month. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. That's God's MBA. And if you want to get wisdom, that's where you start. And then I'd spend some time in the Gospel of John. And then when you're ready, take over to Paul's letter to the Romans. Go through it slowly. You're not in a hurry. You're retraining your mind. And then you retrain your body. And you start, like I said, drinking more water, clearing your mind. The more weight you lose, the less processed foods and sugar that you're putting in your body, the better you're going to think. By a show of hands, how many would agree that we need our brains to function at peak capacity as a caregiver? We're constantly problem solving, having to remember all kinds of stuff and have to pivot on a moment's notice. Do you do that if you're overweight, overburdened, overstressed, overtired? No, that's a recipe for disaster. So if your foot is hurting, go get it looked at. If you feel like you're even starting to get a bunion, go get it looked at and maybe even get an orthotic. It won't be long before it's going to affect your knee. And then your knees go and then, I mean, it just compounds. How firm a foundation. Let's get our foundation. Let's go to the core, the foundation of the Word of God. And now let's start with our feet and just work our way up and start getting ourselves healthier. And we're going to talk about this more throughout the fall, but I wanted just to review some of these things today. We're unhappy, okay? A lot of us are. Caregiving is very taxing and very tiring. But we don't have to be unhealthy. And the more we focus on being healthy, the more happiness will chase us. Healthy caregivers, say it with me, make better caregivers. And today is a great day to start being healthy. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, "I know what I'm going to do." And I was kind of startled. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first?" But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving.
Parents tend to pour a lot of time and effort into keeping the peace at home. But maybe we need to shift our thinking. Is conflict all that bad? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Mom, Dad, it's okay to have conflict with your teen as he matures. Do you honestly think you'd never have disagreements or that he'd never try to question your values? As your teen becomes independent, he'll begin to think differently than you do. But as you engage in discussion rather than avoid it, you affirm that you'll always love him and spend time with him, even when your opinions differ. Hey, who said you needed to have a conflict-free relationship? God grants peace even in the imperfection and brings strength through the process.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at ParentingTodaysTeens.org. That's ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
When you're up against the struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise him.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberg. I went back into the Grooveyard to get that one from Russ Taff. I've always loved that song. Remember the first time I heard it? And it just amazing song. And Russ has got an amazing voice and story. He and Tori have been on this program a time or two. And he and Gracie did a duet some years ago. You can hear that at the website, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Just go check out some of our music. And I would also recommend you going out there to look at Russ's story. They've got a lot of things he's put out there on YouTube and his book, I Still Believe, the movie. It's hard. It's hard to listen to. They've had a tough journey. Russ has really struggled with a lot of things. He's very candid about it. I watched a video with them recently with Russ sharing more of his story. And it was, I just texted him and said, "I just want to hug you guys." I mean, it's really meaningful to hear people process out what has happened to them, but in the redemptive work of Christ. Understanding their relationship with Christ now in ways that they didn't before. And I think that's, for us as caregivers, that's very meaningful because we're in the throes of it. We want to hear people with real life. You know, I when I helped Gracie write her book many years ago, Gracie's Standing with Hope, and I would recommend it. It's a good book. We're very proud of the book, but we put some things in there that are not too flattering to me. Gracie had a car wreck. I had a train wreck. And I remember calling up Johnny Erickson Tata helped me write this. She helped mentor me through some of these things. And another friend of ours, Jeff Foxworthy. And you think that's an unusual combination to bring to this project, but if you know Gracie and me at all, that makes perfect sense to have Johnny and Jeff be a part of this. But I was writing this as in Gracie's voice, but I was writing it, and I called up both of them and I said, look, there's some things about my life that we're going to divulge in this, and you think we ought to put it in there? And of course, they both knew the story, and they both said, yeah. In fact, Jeff said, it's real life, Peter. And people need to hear real life. Jeff went on to say, he said, I got a friend of mine who's right all the time, but he's never real. And I think that was a real turning point for me. That was before I started doing this radio program and everything else. And so when I approached the program and everything I do for caregivers, it was with the intent of, let's talk about real life. I'm not going to give platitudes. I'm not going to be a Christian Hallmark card with a Jesus veneer on it. We're gonna get down in the nitty gritty of some things, even if I have to talk about, you know, bunions. But Russ and Tori laid out his journey, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. Go out and do it. I'm not going to spoil Gracie's book for you. Go out and get that book if you want to read it. And she's working on something right now that she's been wanting to do for some time. She's talked about this for several years. It's very difficult for her to write. And so she's asked me to kind of help shepherd her through this a little bit, and I'm glad to do it. But every month in our e-letter that we have through Standing with Hope, you can subscribe to that today. Go out to standingwithhope.com and subscribe to that. She is talking about chronic pain and how she deals with it. Gracie has dealt with severe pain since 1983. She hadn't known a day without it now for a very, very long time. And it's not insignificant pain. It's not like a dull ache or anything like that. It's sharp and it's tough for her. And it's never going to go away until Jesus decides to make it go away. There's nothing here on this planet that's going to be able to fix this. How does she cope with it? How does she deal with it? How has her faith changed? How has her theology changed? And I have some thoughts on that with theology. I feel very strongly about this, and I am persuaded that the further away we are from affliction, either ours or someone else's, the weaker our theology becomes. I've seen it over and over and over and over, and I've never seen it go the other way. The people that have strong doctrine and theology that is a vibrant faith are usually involved in very painful things, either with their own life or with the lives of others. And they candidly deal with them, ministering the gospel, because it forces them to lean more on Christ. Because when you think you can lean on your own understanding, why do you need a Savior? It's hard to cry out to a Savior you don't think you need. But when we're faced with the afflictions of ourselves or others, we see our great need, and we call out to the Savior, and we start to explore the riches and the depth of God's mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, His redemption, His sovereignty, His purpose, His decrees. All of those things start to come into better focus more often than not in the light of suffering. Corrie ten Boom said it beautifully. You never know how much you need Jesus till He's all you got. And so as Gracie writes about this with pain, she's, you know, what sustains her? What gets her going? What's able to keep her from going into despair? What does she do when she does go into despair? And these are hard things. But if you'd like to be a part of that and see that every month, I would recommend you go out and sign up for it. And while you're out there at standingwithhope.com, you can go to the giving page and you'll see a thing for the caregiver calendar. It's not too late. We're doing 2025 calendars, and I took pictures of where we live in Montana. I've just got all these different pictures with quotes that I have from a new book. I just signed with my publisher, Fidelis, and they picked up two new books of mine, and they'll be coming out next year in 2025. In fact, next September, a year from now. And one of them is a children's book, and the other one is this other caregiver companion book, I call it. And it, but the calendar, there are pictures that I took just of our place throughout the year, various times a year, and I made it into a calendar, and I put a quote on that calendar that applies for us as caregivers. And I give these out as just gifts to say thank you to folks that support what we do at Standing with Hope. We have two outreaches. We have the caregiver outreach, of which you're listening to and part of through this program. And then we have the prosthetic limb outreach, where Gracie wanted to provide quality prosthetic limbs to her fellow amputees and point them to Christ. And we feature a patient every month in our newsletter as well. There's a man this month named Barnabas who's retired. He was a retired teacher, I believe, and he lost his leg to diabetes. And now we're helping him to live a much more active retirement life and enjoy life. And it's a great work, and it goes on. And I love to get the feedback from the clinic director we work with over there. He's ready for us to come back. I haven't been over there in a while because of COVID and then because Gracie's been so sick. And I'm trying to go over there next year. Lord willing, I will. And take a team with me. We send regular supplies. We send used components that we recycle through our prosthetic limb recycling program. Inmates at a prison down in Arizona receive all these. It's run by Core Civic. They're out of Nashville. They've been partnering with us for 13 years. We've done over 1,000 prosthetic limbs now that we have recycled. And we can take the components apart, you know, all the down to the knee, the feet, the pylons, the screws, the adapters, all that kind of stuff. And you can go out to the website and see what we can use. And then we ship all those raw materials over to Africa. Then we purchase things such as resin, acrylic resin and so forth that we use to laminate the sockets, and carbon fiber. You can't recycle that. So we purchase that and provide that to them so they can build limbs for their own people. And it's an amazing work, prisoners that help us do that. I'm still overwhelmed by that. And I appreciate all the folks at Core Civic that have helped make that happen. The inmates volunteer to do this. And the reports that I get are consistent that they all find great value in the work. I remember one guy said, "I never did anything positive with my hands until I started doing this." Another one said, "I never thought about crippled people until I started working with your program." How about that? God used a woman with a broken body to reach broken lives with the help of broken lives in prison to take parts from broken people. And we're all doing this to point to the one who was broken for us. Isn't that extraordinary? And this is that's such a picture of the redemptive work of God. So these are things that we're doing, and I would encourage you to check them out. I would also, again, remind you that if you go out to the website, you'll see the Caregiver 911, and take advantage of that. Part of my own journey of being healthy is to be able to tell people what has happened in my life, things that I've learned. And every time I say these things, I get stronger. It reinforces these principles so that they're constantly in play in my life. The healthy caregivers make better caregivers. And that's my hope for you as well, that as I say these things, that you're not only going to get stronger in dealing with what you deal with as a caregiver, but that you're going to go out and talk about these principles with others and lift them up. And as you do that, you'll find that it just blesses you more and more, strengthens you more and more, equips you more and more to do what you are called upon to do as a caregiver, more importantly, what you're called on to do as a believer. So today's time, I just want you to reflect on things we can do to be healthier. I push myself intellectually, spiritually, physically, financially, every which way. We didn't even get into finances today, but we'll get into that another show. But I push myself engaged in life. And remember what I said at the beginning of the program, what Churchill said, it is better to do something than to do nothing while waiting to do everything. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do something today that is going to equip me to be a healthier caregiver. Because we all know, say it with me, healthy caregivers make better caregivers. This is Peter Rosenberger, Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Check it out. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.